Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
It is time to look at God's Word and see what He has to say to you and me today as we listen to Pastor Galen as he shares a message today.
Hey, welcome to Chicago First and good morning. My name is Galen. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm so excited that you're here with us today, wherever you may be watching from. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of Chicago First this morning. And I'm really also excited for the regathering that we've been talking about all morning. For those of you that are willing and able that are going to be joining us here for church next weekend, we are super excited to have you. But also there's another group of people that I'm excited to come alongside of you. I know that there may be some of you that are watching, that really do want to worship together with other people, not just in your home. But the idea of a bigger service still makes you a little bit uneasy, and that's totally fine. But if you would like to have a watch party next weekend, is what I'm calling it. It's almost like kind of a house church thing. If you would invite some friends or family members, people from your work, people you know, over to your house to watch church with you, maybe do like, you know, some breakfast beforehand, lunch afterward. I would love to be able to partner with you, thinking through our different life groups. I think this is an excellent option for life groups. But for anybody, I want to be able to partner with you in that. So if that idea intrigues you and you would want to be a part of that, I want you to send me an email. I've got some resources for you, best practices in doing that. I want to send you some questions for message reflection questions. You could talk about it after the message next weekend if you want to. Here's the best part. If you are willing to have people over to your house, have a little watch party at your house, send me a picture. I want to buy the donuts for you, okay? So you're going to send me an email, send me the details, who's coming over, how many donuts do I need to buy, and I will somehow have them delivered to your house. I would love to do that. And so the church would be gathered here at the church would be gathered at our online campus, and church may be even gathered in your living room. So if that is of interest to you, pop me an email. I'd love to set that up for you. I'm also excited to share with us today in this series called Reset. Kind of hitting the reset button as we're coming back together and regathering in some sense. Maybe we'd also hit the reset button on things that we've learned during this time that make us view church, who we are, how we function differently. I think COVID has, for example, made us realize different things. So we've always said, you know, we go to church. And this time where we don't go to the building has made us realize, no, we are the church. We may go to the building, but we are God's people as He lives within us. It's kind of made us hit the reset button and think about that. And today we're going to talk about something of how we live, and maybe we'll hit the reset button on our views on worship. In this series, we're asking these mission critical questions. Who are we as a people? Last week, we talked about how the story of Jesus unites us and we are centered on His story. And today, how do we live? And I would say this, we as God's people are a people who live our lives in worship of God. This is the way that we go into the world and live our life, and it reflects how we view God into the world as well. So the question then, if we're a people that live our lives in worship of God, is simply this. What is worship? If I'm asking you in your living room, holding your coffee right now, it's a little creepy if you actually are holding your coffee. Didn't mean to like call you out or something, but if I had to ask you, what is worship? How would you answer that? I think for most of us, we think of the Sunday morning church. Well, there's the greeting, and then there's the worship, and then there's the message. Like, the worship is the music part of the service, right? That's how most of us think of worship. And again, today, I maybe want to hit the reset button and help us maybe view worship differently. I don't think it's just singing. It could be more than that. I think about, you know, what is worship? I was thinking about this week. I'm in my office. My office is next door to Phil's, and Brian's is right next to him. And I heard this strange noise coming from the end of the hall. And I'm like, I have to investigate. It's an odd sounding noise. It's not like nails on a chalkboard, but it's close. And we got it. What is this noise? And I go by Phil's office, and I noticed it was someone singing. And it wasn't Phil singing. Phil sings amazing. He was a worship pastor forever. And I took a step further, and I was by Brian's office. And I heard this noise of strings screeching, and it was a ukulele like crying out. And I'm like, that's not a pretty noise. And I heard this singing, and I'm like, it's not great. The Bible will call it a joyful noise. Some of you may not sing pretty, but you can still make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I thought about Brian alone in his office with his ukulele worshiping. Is that worship? Sure it is. Is that a made-up story? Maybe. You can ask Brian about it. But maybe worship is more than just our singing. I think worship is the way that we live our life to God. How do we live our life to God? And N.T. Wright has some beautiful thoughts about worship, and I want to read them to you. They're actually from Pastor Bob's background notes for this week. He says this, worship will never end. N.T. Wright says this, worship will never end. Where there is buildings, they will crumble. Where there's committees, they will fall asleep. Where there's budgets, they will add up to nothing. For we build for this present age, we discuss for this present age, and we pay for this present age. But when the age to come is here, the present age will be done away with. So now our tasks are worship, mission, and management, these three, and the greatest of these is worship. When we worship God, which is simply this, when we love God and love our neighbor, what is coming one day when Jesus returns is the kingdom of heaven coming to earth in the here and now. As we worship God with our singing, sure, declaring who he is, but also as we live our lives loving God and loving the people around us, bringing about what is good, what is beautiful, what is just and right into the world. That is how we live our lives and worship. And of course, this is more than just Sunday morning. It's every day of the week. I remember probably a month ago, Pastor Matthew and I were talking in the pre-service show, and I asked him, I said, what's been one thing you've learned, have you viewed differently in this time? And he said, you know, as the church, we've always said, we say it to each other, you know, it's not just one day, it's how we live in the week. He said, for me, and I think for us as a church, what it's really doing is saying, how do I live as a church person on Monday? How do I worship when I see my neighbor, and how do I interact with him? Do I really believe that I am a part of the church that is in the world? And if we live our lives in a way where it's loving God and loving others, that is our worship. I think one of the best passages of scripture, it tells us what our true and proper form of worship is Romans 12, and it says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love this verse. Many of you know it. You may have it memorized. I love this. It's a good one to memorize. But I also remember being a teenager and reading this and not understanding. And when I read, offer your body as a living sacrifice, I'm like, what is that? How do you do that? What does that mean? And of course, there's Old Testament imagery where they would offer sacrifices to God, and they would be dead animals. And Paul's saying, no, offer your life as a living sacrifice. Live your life for God as you're alive. But I remember being young, and I was like, what do I do with this? How do I offer my body as a, what does that really mean? And so I looked up a paraphrase translation of the Bible that I found to be super helpful for me, and maybe it'll be helpful for you. From the Message, it reads this way. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, your ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. And don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you just fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. From this translation, I think the true and proper worship could simply be taken as this. Take your everyday life and fix your attention on God as you go through your everyday life. And this is what worship can look like for you. The philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said this, if you want to have purity of heart, that is to will one thing and life. In a Christian perspective, Jesus says what's most important, love God, love your neighbor. If you do these two things, everything else in life, all, every do's and don'ts, right and wrong, whatever, it will all be fine because they'll be covered if you love God and love your neighbor. It is the fulfillment of the law. If we can have a unity of heart and one mind to do these things, that is what worship looks like as we live our everyday, ordinary life. So, even up to this point in this message, almost everything we've heard has been like more theological. This is what it means, and we believe it with our head. But what does this actually look like practically? How can you worship the other 6 days of the week and view your life as worship as you live your life? So I want to get super practical and maybe give you ideas this week of how you can love God and love people. And first of all, for me, it makes me think of the workplace. If you were here last week, if you heard me talking, I told you I worked at Chili's in college as a waiter, as a server to help pay for school. And while I was there is when I began to follow Jesus and I began to see God change me from the inside out and change a lot of dramatic, drastic things in my life. And so people at Chili's began to see this change happen within me. And it was interesting, while I was working there, a few of us began to follow Jesus. I remember Daniel, the bus boy, who was like 16, started a relationship with Jesus. And ironically, the bartender, his name was Ben, he's now actually an assistant pastor, but the bartender began to follow Jesus. So the irony was, on the bar side of the restaurant, the bartender was a Christian, and me, who was serving the lounge and the bar side, were the two people, and there was others, but the two people that were following Jesus, having Jesus conversation with people in the restaurant. And one day, you know, I was, at this point, I was not one of those waiters where you go and you sit down and they're like, hey, what do you want? And they're just going to remember like all 15 of your orders. I was not that person yet. So I had a book and I was, you know, writing down, what do you want to eat? You want your steak? Okay. And broccoli. Okay. Nobody likes broccoli. All right. What do you want? And I would write it down. And one day I forgot my book at work. And when I got there the next day, Ben, the bartender, the Christian, had found it. And inside he wrote a verse. And I remember that day I opened it up. I wanted to make sure all my money and stuff was still in there. So I opened it up. Ben had left the money in there and he had wrote this verse. And I love this. Maybe you'd memorize this one too. It says this, whatever you do for your work, whether you stay home, whether you love kids, whatever industry you're in, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, all of your passion, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. And when Ben wrote this, he actually crossed out, whatever you do, work. He crossed out the work and wrote serve, because my job was a server, is what they called us, not a waiter, a server. So it read, whatever you do, or whoever you serve, serve them with all of your heart, as though you were serving the Lord instead of people. And so it gave me this image, this picture in my mind. What if Jesus walked into Chili's and sat at table 72 and I walk up, I'm like, oh, excuse me, sir. Oh, that's Jesus. Hello, Jesus. What do you want to drink today? I already know you want the salty chips from Chili's because they're the best thing on earth, but what else can I get you to drink today? It would change how I spoke to the person that was sitting at the table. And I tried to carry this picture with me every night that I worked. And here's the amazing things. You treat people as if you would treat Jesus, and the tips start to go up because you begin to love them and serve them much, much better. And the challenge I think I would give to you is this. Maybe you could view your boss, work for your boss as if they were Jesus. And if you begin to think about that, I guarantee you, your relationship with them is probably going to change. Or maybe for those of you that have people under you, if you're the boss, work for them as if Jesus was working for you. If Jesus was your employee, how would you treat him? And maybe if you have people under you, take the example of how Jesus serves and loves his disciples. If you could serve and love your people in that same way, I think it could change our workplaces. Work for the Lord as instead working for people. View it as we're working for Jesus instead. And ultimately, really what I want you to do is think about how to take your ordinary life and put Jesus in the midst of your entire day. Maybe when you wake up, you roll over, you look out the window and you see the sun is up. You say, God, thank you for the sun and for summer and for the warmth of another day. As you drink your coffee, maybe you pray for your family. God, would you protect them today? Help my brothers, my sisters, my kids, whoever. Help them all to know you and to grow in a relationship with you. On your commute, maybe you crank up that worship music. Maybe you don't sing pretty, but maybe you can make a joyful noise and praise God. Or maybe you turn it all the way off, and maybe if you're anxious about your day, God knows your meetings too. And you say, God, I'm worried about the pitch today, the presentation. Would you help me? Could you give me peace in whatever is coming in my day today? As you go to work, work with all of your heart and your passion as if you're working for God. And in every small act that you do, as you mow the grass, know that you are stewarding and taking care of the creation that God has entrusted to you. As you hold your grandbabies and your babies, would you know that you're giving them love and compassion that one day they may see the same love and compassion as God, their Father, as well. As you wash the dishes, begin to talk to God like a friend. If you want to look into more this week, look up Brother Lawrence, and as he washed the dishes, grew in the intimate presence of God as he did so. And finally, as you lay your head on your pillow at night, tell God your frustrations from the day. Let him remind you of his great love for you, and go to sleep in peace and in rest, knowing that God cares for you. Take your everyday life and fix your attention on God as you go through it. Last week, I gave you a phrase that something I feel like God has been talking to me and a challenging thought about who the church is and why the church stops growing. And it's still in my mind. And I shared this phrase with you, or this thought. The church stops growing when we stop telling the story of the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus. We talked about that last week. But also, and when we stop interacting with people outside the church so they see the winsome love of Jesus in us. I'm convinced that if we can take our ordinary everyday life, focus on God, and loving others as we go through it, people are going to see a winsome love within us. Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love them. So as we go through our everyday, ordinary life, as we're standing in line, going through a checkout, maybe we don't respond the same way that other people do. Maybe we choose to intentionally love people in the midst of whatever that looks like in the situation. People will take notice. Say, why are you different? And that gives us an opportunity to share the love of God with them as well. And I'm fully convinced that our loving actions can change entire communities. This week, I was thinking when the first disciples started following Jesus, and I told you I've been reading Acts, Paul ends up going all the way to Rome and Peter's preaching everywhere. Thinking about them and the church starting, I thought to myself, as a culture, we're living in very interesting days. What was the culture that they grew up in? What was it like for the early Christians? And Rome was the empire. They were dominant, and it was the Roman culture kind of ruled the day, and all these different communities and communities of Jesus were springing up everywhere. But what was that backdrop? And the Roman society had some really cool, interesting, good things about it, but it had some things that aren't great spots to highlight either. Their care for the sick was not great. Those that were sick and those that were elderly and those that had deformities, they would literally ship them off to an island to fend for themselves. We don't want to look at you. We just want to forget and to fend for yourself until they eventually passed away. Those babies that were born that were unwanted or babies that were born with deformities, they would literally take them to the town trash heap and put them at the top of the pile so that it might die from exposure. The Christian public name was being slandered on the social media, if you will, of the day. They said, who are these Christian people? They are a weird cult group of people. They're cannibals. Have you heard of them? They eat the body and drink the blood of their leader. This is a weird, weird group. But at least somehow they are loving the sick, the elderly, and the poor. And the amazing thing about the early Christians in their culture, where they're getting burned by, Rome itself, the Emperor Nero, he's burning them for entertainment. They said, listen, our actions, what we believe about Jesus, the way that he has loved us, it's not just the head knowledge that we know and we have received, but it has now moved into our heart. And it's the way we live. So we choose to love other people. And in Rome, their stance, their belief took actions. When they would hear the baby crying at the top of the trash pile, they would walk out of their house, grab that baby and take it home with them and raise it as their own. This is what the love of Jesus does. So in this culture, as the message of Jesus continues to spread, around the year 250, there was a serious epidemic. It started in Africa, goes to Italy, Western Europe, lasted 15 to 20 years. I don't know how many months we're into COVID here, but 15 to 20 years, and got bad enough in Rome, 5,000 people died in a single day. In Rome, they weren't really doing anything to help care for the sick or the needy. They left the dead in the streets. And the Christians, there was something interesting and different that happened. The Christians in Carthage banded together. They got Christians from all over the city to come together. They started asking the rich to make donations. They started enlisting the poor to help serve. They didn't care who was in the church. They didn't care who was outside the church. They said, our loving action is compelling us. We must do something. They started taking care of the sick and the elderly. They started burying those that were dead already. And because of their witness, they said, these people are doing something crazy. And more people came to know Jesus during that time because of the way they cared for others. In a time of epidemic where life was chaotic, the message of Jesus actually spreaded faster because of the way that people loved. And I believe that we can do that same thing today. May we choose to love in a time that is so divisive. May we choose to show up for people in respectable and safe ways, of course, but choose to show up for people when no one else does. And maybe the message of Jesus could go further. And some of you may think, you know, this was Rome, by the way. Sorry, I missed a slide, but the plague everywhere. Some of us may think that loving a community, loving a city, that our love could change a whole city, it's too big for us. We think, how on earth could I do something that could change a city? And we do this together as the church. But I don't want you to miss something personal for you today. I want to kind of bring it home for you. I think by your loving, personal, intentional actions, you may not be able to change a city, but here's what I know. You can change someone's life. You can be a voice that changes their story in the here and now. You can show up for them when nobody else does. Your loving actions can change one person's life. And this is, I really think, where our loving actions come from. If we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to love others, I think I love this verse, and it can be our battle cry, our rallying cry, if you will. James 1:27 says this, pure and genuine religion. If you want to know what pure and genuine religion is in the sight of God the Father, it means caring. Caring for the orphans and the widows and those in distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. If we want to follow Jesus and be pure and religious people in the best sense of the term, it means caring for those that are in distress. And I looked up James in a bunch of different Bible translations. What does it mean to care for other people? Different translations, obviously, to care. But it also means to look after others, to visit others, to reach out to others. Do you know someone today who's in distress? Their job has changed. Their job is different. Maybe they've lost their job due to the pandemic. Whatever it is, their life is stressed. They're tired of being home with their kids for 4 or 5 months. They're in distress today. What would it look like for you to visit them? Maybe simply just to reach out, to look after over the long term. Hey, I know I texted you last week, but are you still doing okay? If we can be a people who simply care for others, that I think is our witness to the world that we love you and that we are here for you. And your one actions can change someone's life. This week, it made me think of a story that Pastor Phil shared with me, and it was in the Tribune. It was the story that happened to Rosario Del Rio. He's known as Don. Some of you may have read this story, but Don lives not too far from here. He lives in the southeast suburbs of Chicago. He's 70 years old. He's an immigrant from Mexico, got a citizenship, got a job, had 3 kids, bought a house, hasn't had the easiest life. He's had quite a few struggles. And so he finds himself at 70 years old today, still working, trying to provide for himself and to provide for his family. And 3 weeks ago, Don suffered an injury that he was doing construction and no longer can do construction now. But he said, listen, the money's got to come from somewhere. I got to do something and continue to support myself and to support my family. And so he goes to the local ice cream shop and he says, listen, you know the guys that drive around the cart maybe through the neighborhood and they're selling ice cream pops out of the cart? He said, I need a job. can I be the guy that pushes the cart? And he said, actually the owner said, I'm not really sure about this. Like, COVID's happening and you're 70 years old. Should you really be out and about? But at the same time, you need a job. You know what? Go ahead. And so he's out selling these ice cream pops, and he's out on Father's Day, on Sunday, and he's pushing around his cart. And he runs into two guys. He runs into Oscar Gonzalez and Victor Dominguez. And they begin to strike up a conversation with him. And they said, dude, what are you doing? It's Father's Day. Go home. Don't be working on Father's Day. Spend today with your family. We're having a barbecue with our family. You should be doing the same thing. And Don says, yeah, but I gotta work. And then something happened. Those guys had one simple thought. The thought was this. You know what we should do? We should buy out this dude's cart. We should buy everything in his cart. Then he has no excuse, no reason to be working on Father's Day. Then he could actually go home and be with his family. So that's exactly what they did. Their thought took action. They bought everything in this guy's cart. And as they're buying it and they're getting everything out, one of those guys, his daughter's boyfriend, Michelangelo, pulls out his phone. He takes a video. It captures some of the emotion of what Don was feeling in the midst of this. I want you to see this. So Michelangelo takes this video, he posts it on TikTok, and it goes viral. And obviously Don went home to be with his family, and people heard of this story and like, this is amazing. But then the family said, yeah, it's cool that our video's gone viral, but like, what can we actually do to help Don? So they started a GoFundMe page, really, I think, with an audacious goal of $10,000. Could we help him somehow to be able to retire and to be with his family? And they actually had to shut the page down 24 hours later because there was already $40,000 that was given. And I believe it's this next week they'll get to sit down with Don, give him the check and say, listen, we want you to be home with your family. If this will help you retire in some sense, could you do it? And here's what I want to say. This started with one simple thought. Maybe we should buy this guy's cart out. And what started with one simple thing turned into action. Okay, we're actually going to take action on this. And then it went viral. And then there was the fundraising and it has helped him out. I believe that God's Spirit lives around us and lives within us. God's Spirit gives us these thoughts. Could you love this person? Could you go out of your way? And if we would simply take action in worship to God, loving God and loving our neighbors, if we would take action, I believe that through this Spirit, there is power and potential that we can see a one person's story change. If you find yourself in church today, it's probably because someone asked you or someone in your family tree one question, a thought, I should invite them to church. I should invite them to my group. And it's changed your family's story. What could we do to change one person's life? I believe one thought can change someone's life. Church, I want to be a person and I want us to be the church that is known for our loving generosity. You never know when one thought, I should go talk to that person. I should write them a card. Maybe I could pay a bill for them. I should stop by their house. Maybe I'd invite them to group, invite them to my church. You never know when that one thought turned into action could change their life. I want to be a person that's known for uncanny, unnatural generosity. I want us as a church to be a people who care. A people who show up, a people who visit others and actually care about what's happening in their life, a people who live with a thoughtfulness. I know how much God loves my boss. I know how much God loves those that work for me. I know how much God loves my neighbor. If we can live with that thoughtfulness, we will respond as God would to them. I want us to be a people that live with such radical intentionality of loving those around us that people will see the winsome love of God that the Spirit has placed within our heart. And then we can tell them the story. And by our hands, by our feet, by our actions, and by our words, their life could be changed because of the story of Jesus. Jesus instructs us, let's not only love with our words or our speech, but with our actions and truth. Church, this week, what could we do? My reflections for you for this week, things to think about. Number one, this week, maybe you ask God to help you see your everyday life as worship. And maybe this week you would notice and choose someone to care for. You probably already know someone in your life who's in distress. Maybe you choose an intentional way to show up, to visit, to care for them this week. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for your church. I thank you that you love us enough to accept us just as we are. God, as we live our lives, help us to see our entire life as given to worship to you, as we choose to love you and to love our neighbors. Help us to see our neighbors through your eyes the way that you see us. Even though we may be undeserving, we haven't earned it, you still chose to accept us, to embrace us, to invite us in, and to love us anyway. Let us be your people in both speech and words and in actions and in truth that show up for people that care. And God, I pray this week for those that are listening that you would open doors, that we could love people in these ways. God, if there's anyone here today that maybe has wandered away from you and they find themselves watching this and they're finding their way back to you and they would say, for whatever reason, they know that your presence, your spirit is with them. And they say, I need to get back to this. I need to accept Jesus' forgiveness for my life. I need to be a part of a church like this. I want to grow in my relationship with God. I want to decide to follow Jesus. God, I pray today that they would simply say, yes. God, I pray that you would help us as a church to do our best to come alongside them and show them the way of the faith, to embrace them as one of our own and to love them as you love them as well. God, we're thankful for you today. Help us to be your people centered on your story and a people that live in worship to you. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.